Life Tender, a Murderbot fanfiction, written by Molecular Machine, read by God of Laundry Baskets. It is rated teen and up. The alarms of Preservation Station were blaring so loudly, I backburnered audio so I could focus. The smoke was getting thicker. I hated fire. I wish the alarms were about an armed attacker instead. I'd know what to do about that. I wasn't equipped for this. It's not like I have fire extinguishers in my arms. The automated fire suppression system was active and had kept the flames partially contained, giving most people a chance to flee. Senior Inda had hailed me over the feed minutes ago. My automated internal alert system had already noted the fire alarms in the feed, but I hadn't realized how serious it was until Senior Inda contacted me over our comm channel. "Sorry, it's not really a weird contract, but we could use your help to get the last few people evacuated, fast." I had already started running as soon as I saw she was contacting me. As I sprinted, I requested the locations of the humans in need of retrieval. She sent me a location marker. "This is the only region we weren't able to clear. The smoke is too hazardous, and the fire response team with environmental suits doesn't arrive for 15 minutes. Can you handle the smoke?" "Yes." She didn't question me or tell me to be safe. I appreciated that. The area I needed to check was a long hallway, very near the source of the fire. The smoke was so thick, I needed a visual filter to see clearly. I found a group of humans almost immediately. They were attempting to follow the emergency exit lighting, struggling to walk, coughing, and gasping. "Are there more of you?"
"No, it's just us," wheezed one of the adults. "We came from the far end of the hallway and haven't seen anyone else."
That was good. These four were going to be tricky enough. It appeared to be a family group, two adults and two small children. I needed to do this fast. I didn't breathe as much as a human, but this smoke was going to affect my performance reliability soon. I was surprised the humans were still on their feet. The smallest one lost consciousness. Action needed now. "On my back," I shouted to one of the adults, pulling him away from the collapsed child and crouching down with my back to him. Thankfully, not an arguer. He hopped up and clung on. I grabbed the other adult in a bear hug. "Wrap your arms and legs around me. You two will need to hold on your own. Don't worry about squeezing me too tight. Just clamp onto me and onto each other." They linked their arms and legs as strongly as they could. They felt pretty well attached. Then I scooped up both children, one under each arm, with their heads in my hands, and took off, as close to full speed as I could get while caring for entire humans. Well, two of them were half-sized. We emerged from the smoke into the triage area, where the emergency responders were caring for the injured. I deposited them and left immediately, still on a run back towards the fire. My performance reliability had dropped to 79% from the smoke. Not too bad. "Senior Inda, I've cleared the area. What's next?" I asked over the comm. She was slow to respond, coughing badly.
"I think we've got them all, Sec Unit, but I can't find a way out. Fire is blocking all my exits."
"Send me your location and the known fire areas." She sent me a map with annotations, while also voicing concerns that I ignored as I analyzed the possible routes I could take to get to her and get her out. Getting to her wasn't too bad. I just had to sprint at full speed through a room full of fire. It burned off my hair, all of it, and all my clothes, although my sturdy boots held up. I was a bit blackened at the edges, too, with some lost skin, especially on my hands and face, exposing my metal substructures. But all my joints and internal systems were functional. Performance reliability was at a respectable 70%, the drop due as much to additional lung damage as the burns. So maybe I wasn't so bad at dealing with fire. Senior Inda had remained at the location she had sent to me. Smart. Now, I just had to get us out. The heat of the fire I'd run through would be too much for a human. We needed another way. I had a plan. Follow me. She did, asking no questions, although maybe that was because of all the coughing. I was leading us deeper into the station, away from the fire, but also away from the emergency responders, and away from any exits that didn't lead directly into the void of space. We were heading towards the Pressy, the old ship that was now a preservation history museum. I remembered the location of the life tender and grabbed it from the historical display. Senior Inda had some questions now. Is that what I think it is? Yes. It worked great last time. You have got to be kidding me. There isn't another way? I sent her my station map, which now highlighted the places the fire had spread to since her last update from the fire crew. There was no other way to get back into any part of the station that wasn't on fire. We had plenty of exits at the docks, although none of them were into a nice, comfy shuttle. All the docked ships had pulled away from the station during the fire emergency for their protection. We could try sheltering in place and hope that retrieval comes before death by smoke inhalation, but I don't like the percent survivability. She nodded with resignation, and we headed to the closest airlock. The smoke was too thick for safety, especially considering both Senior Inda and I already had compromised lungs. We needed to hurry. I still had the life tender's instructions in my working memory, plus the recent practice, so I was able to get it set up quickly, letting it seal itself around the hatch while we waited outside the airlock. Senior Inda looked appropriately horrified when she saw it deployed. She knew I'd used a life tender while freeing the indentured miners, but that didn't really prepare her for seeing and getting into this ancient space bag. It's just a bag. That's what I said when I first saw it. But don't worry, it works better than it looks. Come on in, we'll be fine. I was deploying a similar calming tone to what I'd used to coax Valescu out of the fauna pit on the survey. Stop baby-talking me, Sec-Unit, and get in the bag. We hopped in. I sealed the bag and launched it away from the station. The life tender's basic life support system began filtering the smoke from the air. We'd made it, or at least we'd made it off the station. Senior Inda's coughing was becoming less intense, and my performance reliability went up a few percent. So, how do we get back to the station? She asked. We just need some coordinates for a safe airlock. Senior Inda messaged Port Authority and got us a location, which I input into the rudimentary navigation system. This actually isn't so bad, Senior Inda said, just as a small hole appeared in the reinforced fabric of our space bag. I can move very quickly. How quickly? Apparently faster than a space bag can decompress through a 3-centimeter hole. I clamped my hand over the hole, squeezing the thick fabric into a tight seal and locking my finger joints before Inda could even react. She got caught up to the situation rapidly, though. What made that hole? Probably a piece of space trash, something too small to be caught by the station's debris protection field. Something this size wouldn't be an issue for a hard-hulled craft, but it was an issue for us. I can hold this closed forever, so we'll be fine.
unless there's more space trash. And then another hole appeared. Was it unlucky we were struck by another piece of debris, or was it lucky that I was able to reach the new hole with my other hand? I hate luck. So here we were, in a space bag. I was stretched to my full span, holding two holes close to prevent our deaths by decompression. And remember, I had no clothes and no hair and was blackened at the edges. But neither Senior Inda or I were significantly damaged, and the bag was already blorping along the exterior of the station, looking for the airlock to seal over. Senior Inda was also very calm and competent in an emergency for a human. She wasn't even fazed by my alarming appearance, or, at least, she was able to pretend she wasn't fazed. Instead of constantly asking me if I was okay or needed help with the holes, she had been communicating efficiently with Station Sec, getting updates on the fire and coordinating the opening of the airlock for our re-entry, which was good. I needed to come up with a plan for if we were hit by another piece of debris. Unfortunately, there wasn't actually anything to do if we got another hole. Stretched in this position, there was no part of my body that could reach any part of the bag, not even my mouth or feet, which probably couldn't make a tight seal anyway. I ran a calculation and determined that if we got a 1 centimeter hole, we would have approximately 100 seconds until complete depressurization. Maybe that would be enough time to do something? Maybe a human's hands were strong enough to close the fabric? But there were no additional holes, and the life tender had sealed itself to the station. As the airlock cycled open, I kept a tight hold on the bag's holes, just in case. So the responding Station Sec and Port Authority personnel got a good look at me. They were not successful at seeming unfazed. Oh well. The looks on their faces were quite funny. "The fire is contained. No casualties," Inda reported to me as we exited the airlock. "You may report to Station Medical for repairs, Sec Unit." "The smallest human I brought out?" "The child will be fine."
"You should go to medical also, Senior Officer Inda. You have smoke inhalation damage and need care. I can escort you."
She gave me an odd look.
"I will go soon. Thank you, Sec Unit, for coming to help."
As I was leaving, I heard her giving instruction to remove and discard the holy life tender. "Or fix it," I suggested privately over the feed. "It's come in handy a few times. You never know."
"On second thought, have it repaired and returned to the Pressy's historical display," she said to her staff. To me, she said, "You never know." The end. Thank you for listening.